Hey guys, Michael here. David is in Mexico officiating Mike Dooley's wedding this week, and they're having such a blast. They're seeing pyramids. They're doing amazing things. But I have a couple pieces of housekeeping I'd like to get to before today's show. The first thing is, you guys have probably seen, you've probably heard, all the promotion we're doing around the Kick-Ass Life Plan. The reason why we're doing that promotion is because it is an awesome program. For me, one of the hardest things about being an entrepreneur is staying focused and keeping my eyes on the prize. One of the greatest things for me about the Kick-Ass Life Plan is that it sends an email every single day and it lets me know, okay, here's what I got to focus on today. Here's where my mind's got to be. Here are the things that I really have to be conscious of. So I love that. That's something that helps me on a day-to-day basis, makes me focused. It's like when you join this community, when you're part of this Kick-Ass Life Plan, you're surrounded by people that take action. It's a community of people that are really striving to get to that next level. What's really cool is we've got live webinars, we've got productivity expert Larry Stevens, we've got Gary Parks, the mental strength coach, was just on the show the other day. Of course, David Wood, and I might even stop by for a little training or two, maybe in social media. Who knows? The great thing is, no matter where you are in the world, the revolutionary delivery system delivers this kick-ass life plan right to your inbox. So it's really phenomenal. If you haven't signed up yet, at least to get the information, all you have to do is go to thekickasslife.com/theplan. thekickasslife.com/theplan. Next, I want to talk about money. I wanted to let you know that we are listening. We get your voicemails. We get your emails, and frankly, people need more money. If you want to live a kick-ass life, you have to have money to do it. So what we've done is we've decided that money is going to be the first of our custom sections on the website. And what we want to do is we want to give you a free resource guide, which are just really great things you can use in day-to-day life to keep track of your money, things you can focus on, things you can listen to, things you can read that will really keep your money mindset in the right place. And I know I said money mindset, but that was for a reason. As part of this, we're going to give you a free copy of David's money mindset training. So all you have to do for now, and we're going to have a permanent place for this in the future, but just email us at money@thekickasslife.com, money@thekickasslife.com. And what we will do is send you a link. When this custom section of the website is finished, you'll be able to log in and get your free resource guide for living a financial kick-ass life. With that, enjoy the show. As David says, we'll see you on the other side.
G'day. This is Stuart Emery, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Kick ass.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey there, and welcome to the Kick-Ass Life Show. This is the Thursday edition, and if you listen to the Ask Dave and Jen show on Saturday, you'll know that today's show is all about...
You get a good job with more pay and you're okay. Money! It's a gas.
Yep, we're going to talk about money. We had some questions on Saturday about the money mindset. And, you know, it's a huge subject. And obviously, I can only in 30 minutes skim the surface of this. But I will try and give you some real meat on the bone, something you can take home to the bank, as it were. And I'll try not to scoot around too much. But I haven't... I want to give you sort of something that you can align with and say, well, okay, if I can change this one thing. But you know what's really interesting, I think, for most people is just this whole money blueprint is that, you know, we often don't realize that we are self-sabotaging. We don't realize that we are the ones that are conditioned. And, you know, I was listening to Brian Tracy the other day, and I don't know if you know Brian Tracy or, you know, look at that. I have to watch my fingers there. But if you know Brian Tracy, and he's very, very well respected in the whole area of personal transformation, and has helped a lot of people truly take their life to the next level, especially their financial life. I want you to listen to what he talks about as far as how we could how people don't become wealthy, what can happen, and how we can get programmed. So listen to this. This is Brian Tracy talking about the five reasons why most people don't become wealthy.
Before you begin creating your plan of action to achieve your financial goals, it's important to make sure that you aren't unknowingly holding yourself back from your own financial independence. Through my years of experience, I've learned that there are five common mistakes that prevent the majority of Americans from becoming wealthy. Let's talk about them one by one.
And other people.
First, at the top of the list, it is that it never occurs to them to become wealthy. The average person has grown up in a family where he's never met or known anyone who is wealthy. He goes to school, socializes with people who are not wealthy. Birds of a feather flock together. He works with people who are not wealthy. He has a reference group or a social circle outside of work who are not wealthy, and he has no role models who are wealthy. Now, if this has happened to you throughout your formative years, up to the age of 20 or so, you can actually grow up and become a fully mature adult in our society, and it may never occur to you that it's just as possible for you to become wealthy as for anyone else. So the first reason why people don't become wealthy is because it never occurs to them that it is possible for them.
What I really enjoy about that, you know, is that's what happened to me, right? I mean, no one ever told me that wealth was a birthright. I was told the opposite. You know, I grew up in poverty, and I saw it west by Western standards. We really had poverty. We didn't have a fridge. You know, we only had three beds and four of us. We lived in a condemned building and blah, blah. I know it's a, you know, big sob story, but I don't mean it to be. I don't want to focus on me. I want to focus on you. But by Western standards, our conditions were such. And you know, if you look at the four sort of primary personalities of the money personalities, you know, a spender, a saver, a money monk, or an avoider, you know, and my mom was definitely a spender avoider, and my dad was a saver to the point of, and a lot of savers, it's like, you know, the more money they save, the, you know, it's never enough. There's never enough money saved. And so it's almost like, that they can't enjoy spending any money. It's almost like every dollar you spend. And my dad's like that. So my dad is like, I always joke, you know, I said he's tighter than a duck's ass, and that's watertight. But, you know, so I got this mom who's a spender saver, and my dad who's this kind of, you know, freaky, duck. So I grew up in a world where, wealth was never talked about. It wasn't about wealth. It was about working hard, getting a J-O-B, a job, and working my ass off, or getting qualifications and working for the man. That's what I was taught. That's what I was told. No one ever sat me down and said there was anything else possible. So I really want you to, when you think about Brian's words there, you know, it truly is it's a mindset. Most people are on some form of automatic pilot, and that's the shame. So before I let him come back on, we should talk, let's sing a little bit more about money, shall we? To remind you that, you know, most, you look at sports stars who make the largest amounts of money, I mean, crazy amounts of money, $1 million a game or $1 million a week, and end up completely broke, right? And lottery winners, same thing. Lottery winners do the same thing, right? So as we go back to Brian Tracy's words, I want you to sort of listen more as we talk about this, that, you know, for most people, number one is that they actually don't ever think it's possible, right? Oh, sorry. I just have to make sure I turn. I turn off the music. You see, I forgot to turn off the music before I brought on Mr. Tracy. So I'm just going to make sure that you may have a little glitch there because I actually started playing Brian before I was ready. So here we go. Oh dear, here we go again. See, it won't go off. There you go. I do apologize. So we'll try it one more time. Anyway, so this could be a little bit messy right now. So here we go. Here we go.
And of course, if it never occurs to them, then they never take any of the steps necessary to make it a reality. The second reason that people don't become wealthy is that they never decide to. The primary cause for underachievement and failure is that the great majority of people don't decide to be successful. Even if a person reads a book or attends a lecture or associates with people who are financially successful, nothing changes until he makes a decision to do something different. Even if it occurs to a person that he could become wealthy if he just did certain things in a certain way, if he doesn't decide to take the first step, he ends up staying as he is. If you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always got.
You know, this is, again, this decision piece is so powerful because, you know, it's, and you're sitting there home right now. Have you ever sat down and said to yourself, guess what? I'm doing it. I'm going to create massive wealth. And I mean, it was something that never occurred to me that I could have that choice. No one ever said to me, hey, choose to be wealthy. And I remember the day I did. I remember the first time I made $10,000, and I'd read the book Think and Grow Rich, and I started to do different things. I started to model different people. I started to surround myself with different people. I found a vehicle that wasn't, you know, a J-O-B, a job, because obviously in a job to become wealthy takes decades. If you're earning so much an hour, right? And so for me, it was like making a lot of changes. And I remember like 8 months later sitting there and almost in tears, looking at a $10,000 check that I'd made in a month, thinking, how come no one ever told me that I could make $10,000 a month? How come I didn't know this? I didn't know this was my possibility. And then I made a decision in that day. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to make and I'm going to create wealth. I will become a wealthy person. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend that the road was easy and, you know, everything went exactly as planned and I never made any mistakes. That's not what I'm going to say at all. There was definitely some of that going on. But the truth is what happened for me was I changed so many small things. And I started taking a different set of actions and I decided, and that's what I love about what Brian just said, I decided that I was to be wealthy. And so, you know, time to sing. Oh, you see, music make a dance and money, money, money make a smile. So anyway, so again, I want you to think about exactly what he said there. And have you ever sat down? And if you have sat down and made that decision that you are going to become wealthy, he said the other great thing he said was if you keep doing exactly what you've done, you're going to keep getting exactly the same results. So the question is that, are you doing and are you continuing to do exactly what you're doing? Or are you started doing different things so that you will and definitely get different results? And that's so, so, so important that you understand that the results part is essential. And that, you know, that each person has to, first of all, make that decision. And with that decision, they have to then to look at what are they going to be doing differently. So again, we're just looking at Brian Tracy right now and some of his, those five reasons why most people don't become wealthy. And then we'll look at looking at some strategies and some things that you can do. Okay, so here we go.
The third reason that people don't become wealthy is procrastination. People always have a good reason not to begin doing what they know they need to do to achieve financial independence. It's always the wrong month, the wrong season, or the wrong year. There always seems to be a reason to procrastinate. As a result, they keep putting it off month by month, year by year, until it's too late. even if it's occurred to a person that they can become wealthy and they have made a decision to change, procrastination will push all their plans into the indefinite future and nothing will ever happen. The fourth.
So before we go to the fourth one, excuse me, I'm going to cough. Yeah. So again, that's procrastination. I love the Goya principle. And the Goya principle is the get off your ass principle. And, you know, that's something that G-O-Y-A, Goya, get off your ass. And, you know, that's a very, very good thing for a kick-ass life practitioner to be thinking is to get off your ass. You know, and this procrastination, it's so easy to see success just up in the distance. You know, I'll do it just then. I'll do it then, you know, instead of like right this moment. What can you do today that will make a difference? What can you do tomorrow that will make a difference, right? So definitely this procrastination piece is massive. And with that, you know, the Goya principle, we're going to do a little Gaga, a little Lady Gaga talking about money, right? Here we go.
That's money, money. That's M-O-N-E-Y, so sexy. Down the west coast, oh yeah, and I enjoy some fine champagne while my girls toast, oh yeah.
All right, so we're just listening into right now to Mr. Brian Tracy as he really shares his wisdoms of helping a lot of people turn that corner, that financial corner, and sort of getting to that part of their life where they truly can start to create wealth. And so let's listen to Brian as he talks about reason number four, why most people don't become wealthy.
The reason that people retire poor is what economists call the inability to delay gratification. The great majority of people have an irresistible temptation to spend every single penny they make and whatever else they can borrow or buy on credit. If you cannot delay gratification and discipline yourself to refrain from spending everything you make, you cannot become wealthy. W. Clement Stone once said, if you cannot save money, then the seeds of greatness are not in you. If you cannot practice budgeting as a lifelong habit, it will be impossible for you to achieve financial independence. The fifth.
So before we get to the fifth again, you know, is as we look at this idea, and this is something, again, coming from a family of spenders, avoiders and ducks. You know, for me, you know, I'm much more on the spender avoider. And so I know my money blueprint, so I have to work against it. And so for me, I had to get into a habit of investing because I take my money and I put my money to work before I have the chance to spend it all, because I am. I like a great lifestyle. I live in a beautiful home. Mind you, with a car thing, I've my car, I think, is 7, almost 8 years of age. I don't have that. I buy used boats and I buy used everything. You know, so I don't waste money that way, but I certainly have a very, very beautiful lifestyle where, you know, I spend a lot on travel, I travel around the world. So again, I don't want to be telling you I've got all of these things, my house in order, but I do want to tell you that some of the strategies I used to create wealth was really, was to actually look at my personality style and say, okay, what do I do today to force myself to do something that's going to keep me away from this overriding problem of just spend. Whereas, yeah, okay, I'm spending in a different way. So, I mean, right now we're just putting about $100,000 into another investment, which forces me to take the money I'm making and put it to work. And so that's what we've done. And my partner, by the other hand, is very, very good, an incredible saver. He has this discipline down, really down to a fine art. He listens to the show. So, Mike, I'm just talking about you right now. And so there's two very, very different styles of people who are both be able to create a wonderful financial life. And two different styles, you know, where Mike is more reserved. I am much more sort of gregarious in how I approach spending. And fortunately we've both been able to do very well, but very, very different styles. So it doesn't really matter about the personality style, but it does matter that you understand it and that you don't get trapped by it. And that's certainly something I've had to do and be very, very careful of and continue to be careful of, because that blueprint is still, you know, sort of hardwired in. Oh, a shiny object. I should buy it. Takes me back, and the reason I played that song again from Pink Floyd was because, you know, when I was younger, when I was listening to Pink Floyd, you know, I was getting high the whole time, and you know, I would go to, I just think about it, you know, at this time, you know, I go to work all day long and then go to the pub, and I would be broke before the end of every week. And be getting high with my friends and drunk with my friends. And that was my life. It was a little cycle of, you know, work, high, drunk, work, high, drunk, right? It was just what we did. And if I hadn't have got out of England, there's a great chance I would probably be trapped in some part of that story still. And some of my friends from that time, I really don't have many friends from that time, I'll be honest with you. But there's one of the gentlemen I know who, from that time, who, you know, we've lost contact a little bit because we live in different countries and I never ever see him. But I just know that the last time I did see him, even though he's almost 60, it's, you know, he's still rolling up. And, you know, he was never able to turn that financial corner because he got trapped in that story. And so there really is a need for us to understand the power of behavior and the power of our belief system. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. But let's go back to number five. Here we go.
The reason that people retire poor is perhaps as important, if not more important, than all the others. It's a lack of time perspective. Time perspective is defined as the amount of time that you take into consideration when planning your day-to-day activities and when making important decisions in your life. The young couple that begins putting $50 a month aside in a scholarship fund so that their newborn child can go to the college or university of his choice is a couple with long time perspective. They're willing to sacrifice in the short term to assure better results and outcomes in the long term. People with long time perspective almost invariably move up economically in the course of their lifetimes. Well, that's it for the five reasons why most people...
So, you know, as we look at that, again, you can see, I mean, Brian's from a different era as well, right? So, I mean, and so for a lot of you listening, because you are in JOBs, that long-term perspective is something that for you, it becomes very, very relevant. For me, what became more relevant was how do I allow myself to move past my current income level. And so, you know, there was a definite thing that I, you know, I was trading time for money. And so for me, I had this number over my head that I was willing to trade for. And I've talked about this on other shows, is if you were to sort of look at your last 10 years income and divide it per year. So you may have had windfalls. You may have had years where you've made, you know, $300,000-$500,000, and you may have had, you know, $50,000-$70,000, and you may have had something come in where your income was peaked. But if you average it out over the last 10 years or 5 years, if you're younger, and you can see that, you know, how much you're willing to trade your time for. And I've talked about this a number of times, and imagine this number hovering over your head. So, so you trade time for $30,000, or you trade time for $50,000, or you trade time for $100,000. And Mike and I, we always used to joke, you know, we've always got an extra $5,000 laying around. And then we say, oh yeah, we've always got an extra $10,000 laying around. Oh, now we say, well, we've always got an extra $100,000 laying around. But because we've continued to grow ourselves and grow that financial tolerance, and increase our income. Now, we've done it very, very different ways. Mike through a conventional business model where he's built consistency and he's built, an amazing clinic that's become really a beautiful bubblegum machine, a cash machine, where, you know, he has great staff and his great reputation, and the company continues to grow, and that gives complete freedom. And then, you know, the building and everything else he's been able to do wrapped around that becomes a very, very powerful method of increasing, consists constantly, that financial income. But then, as because of the long-term vision that he has, and we had together, because of the taking those small amounts of money and investing them when it was small, our first house, I think we put about $3,500 each into. And now we look at things, and, you know, where we may look at a property that's $3 or $4 million, whereas before it was like, well, you know, it was $170,000. But as that money that we, that little bit of money we had went to work, that got us in the habit of taking more and more money and putting it to work. And so, you know, and again, and I want to sort of just be completely frank here, is that, you know, I force myself to do more of that because of my habit, my more of a flamboyant style. So again, I don't want to give any false impression at all here. But it's so again, what's the number over your head? How do you challenge that number? And what are you going to do about it to change it? And most people have no plan. It's like they, you know, so if you're going to be earning 15 right now, you may, you know, with two more wage increases over every, you know, 18 months, so you could get to $17 an hour. And that's really where people get stuck, you know, so that's it. So what is the alternate plan? What can we be doing to get out of that? By the way, I love this song. It's kind of crazy. Oh, I did the same one again. Look at me. I'm really, really, I'm really crazy today. What I mean by I love the idea that that's really how most of us get trapped, right? Is I've got a little bit of money, and that means we can go do something. And that's what Tracy talked about as well, is that, right? So what are we going to do differently? What is going to be the thing that will change from this particular show as you look at it? So, you know, and really, how do you start to win the money game? What do you have to do that's different that's going to allow you to win the money game? And really, I mean, the definition, Kiyosaki would say wealth is something that, you know, how many months you can survive. If you lost your job today, how much income do you have put aside where you could live with your current lifestyle, right? Another way is, which is the one where, we subscribe to, is earn enough passive income to pay for the lifestyle you desire. So if you have enough money coming in, financial freedom occurs when your passive income exceeds your expenses. All right. And so, you know, isn't it true though, when you're a kid that you're conditioned, you remember your mom saying this, "Hey, go outside and earn some passive income. Go get yourself some passive income." You know, get outside and, you know, go and get a job and work hard. That's what we were taught. And so really, you know, how much money will it take you to live the lifestyle you want annually? And you got to ask that question. So if you have a, like me, I have an extravagant lifestyle. So I know that my lifestyle, based on what I love to do, traveling, and you know, we're going off to right now to Mexico, straight to Australia, and straight to Belize, right? So we've got these, you know, very, very expensive. Now, admittedly, parts of those are being paid for by a company who are bringing me in, like to Australia. Most of those expenses are looked after externally, right? But I still have this real deep passion of travel. So I have to ask myself, how much money would I need to do that? And so if you said that you need $100,000 a year, plus, you know, let's say 50% in taxes and inflation, let's say. So, you know, so it'd be about 150,000. And if you needed $500,000, it'd be about 750,000. All right. So, you know, so the first way that people think about it is to amass get a huge amount of money and put it to work. Right. and put it into a interest or dividend bearing account. So that's money working for you. But how do you go about getting that huge amount of money? You know, so So, I mean, so if you need $150,000, and let's assume you could get a 10% return and you were skilled on that. I just did an investment today, which is a 15% return, which, you know, I mean, brings me about 750. I invested $50,000, 15% return. That they're rare, but I mean, that's a private thing. That's a private lend where I know that, you know, I know the person really, really well. They're in trouble and that's what they offered me. I said, you know, that's fine. I trust you. And I can help out. Right. So that's a 15% return on that kind of money. And that's cash in the bank. Right. But most people can't do that. So how much, think about this though, if you want $150,000, how much capital would you need working for you to live your desired lifestyle? So if you said $100,000 a year, you need about $1 million working for you. And that's why, you know, having money work for you instead of you working, awesome. As long as you have a plan to make a lot of money, or if you've got a windfall, if you had a, you know, someone gave you $1 million tomorrow and you put it to work instead of going and buying a brand new car or, you know, some fancy sunglasses or whatever like that. Yeah, possible. Absolutely. You can get it working for you, right? But if you needed $750,000 a year to live on, and that's a number which I think is, you know, if you have an extraordinary lifestyle, that's about $7.5 million invested. What about business working for you? So the one is that money works for you. The other one, you know, because someone has to work, just not you. You got to, if you want to create financial freedom. Think of passive income businesses, you know, franchising, royalties, automated, you know, direct sales, network marketing, that kind of thing, right? But the truth is this, that, what we really want is multiple streams of passive income. And you know, like Mike's been able to do is to create a vehicle through his business that has become not passive yet, but residual. But he could, I mean, there is a way he could structure it right now where he could actually, if he wanted to, I don't think it's on his cards at all, but the business could continue to pay him and continues to pay him to have an amazing lifestyle when he's not around, because they built a really, really great business. So the first model was money working for you. This model is business working for you again, right? So, but the objective is to win the money game and become financially free. And to become financially free, we must have enough passive income to pay for the desired lifestyle. And to pay for the desired lifestyle, have investment income plus residual or passive income working for you. All right. And this is where that whole idea of focus, do you remember? And the word focus is to follow one course until successful, right? So, you know, so we've got to look at then what is our plan to create a financial vehicle. And so that's why I'm a real lover of network marketing for the average person. It forces them to grow. It takes them out of their conventional thinking environment. It surrounds them with a whole new group of people who have set goals and dreams and vision boards. And they're having this constant conversation that going on in their head. And I'll give you an example of that, of a success cycle. I want you to draw four boxes. A square. So there's, you know, top left, top right, bottom left, bottom right. In the top left, right, potential. And then the box to the top right would be action. And then the bottom right would be results. And then the bottom left would be belief or attitude. And so isn't it true? For most people right now, if you look at what Tracy said, you look at what I'm talking about right now, is that for a lot of people, they just don't feel, they don't have a belief or an attitude or a certainty that they are going to get. So, you know, bottom left box, we're looking at belief, attitude, or certainty. They just don't have a certainty about their potential to make money. They've never said they're going to become wealthy. They don't really believe they could become wealthy. So they're uncertain. So when they think of their potential box, so if the belief and attitude is I'm kind of not sure I can do it, they look at the potential box and they'll say, well, what's my potential to do it? Well, is it, because if we ask the question, what's human potential? All of you would answer, it's limitless. It's endless. It's an endless possibility. But in this case, when we start to think about it. So, well, for me, then, to become financially wealthy in the next 3 to 5 years or in the next 7 to 10 years, I don't know, maybe my potential to do that based on who I am, my job right now, what's going on. So you have a level of uncertainty. So we look at our potential and we doubt it. We doubt the potential. So what kind of action do we take? And that's the action box, which is top right. Very poor or very little action. And what kind of results are we getting? Well, crappy to none, right? Because of that, right? So that's kind of how it happens, our belief. So we have to have a level of certainty. You guys have to come, if you come only off this call, this show, with a level of certainty that you know without doubt, without hesitation, nothing, you know absolutely that you are going to be, you're going to create wealth. And that you're going to do whatever it takes. You don't have to know how right now, but you'd say, I have the potential. So that, you know, top left box, I have potential. I believe I am certain I can do it. I'm certain I can do it. Listening to this show and I can give you some resources and some books. I'm certain I can do it, right? I have my potential and I believe in my potential and I'm going to start taking actions. I'm going to start taking new actions. What kind of new actions can I take? Well, I mean, one of the big actions to create wealth, first of all, is to simplify your life. If you don't have a lot of money, what I can say is that most North Americans have such huge car payments alone. Minimize that. Get rid of that one. Imagine you just took that $400 or $500 a month and started making that work for you. I mean, that's one thing. Or we get into a second business. And that's why I love network marketing, because it's low overhead, low risk, and it's a profession with unlimited income, and you have to grow into it. And it's one of those few vehicles that I can see most, anyone can succeed at if they understand the fundamentals, right? And I keep beating that drum only because I've helped more people become wealthy with that vehicle than conventional vehicles, because people don't have the discipline or the belief in themselves. So they need to be sort of immersed in a culture of transformation. All right. So the idea then is, you know, you have this this idea of this belief and this uncertainty in ourselves, you know, this potential. We're taking the right actions. We're getting the right results, right? We're stepping in. We're coming off this call with a level of certainty that you're going to become wealthy, like I just mentioned, right? And so what that happens is this now, is you're coming off with this new mindset and you're going to start to immerse yourself into different habits. And like I said, you're going to start to simplify your life, because that's one of the key things, is to simplify your life. Most people are imprisoned by their homes, imprisoned by their car payments alone, right? So if we spend less, it's going to give us much more possibility, much more opportunity to be able to create wealth, all right? And we want to challenge the number above our head. Tell me why you settle for $30,000 or $50,000 a year. Who taught you how to think that way, right? And that's what I used to think. I was making $4 an hour, you know, and now I make a lot more than that. A lot more. It's crazy. I mean, I can add zeros wherever I want, you know, and I see a day where I'll be making $1 million a day, and I have no problem with that. But the old mind I had was it was impossible to think that way, because no one had ever challenged my thinking, you know. And Warren Buffett says, you know, you only have to do a very few things right in your life, so long as you don't do too many things wrong, right? So, you know, and remember the old school of money, right? Go to school, get a great job, work hard, save money, buy a house, you know, get out of debt, buy some RRSPs, diversify. That's the old rule of money, right? And so, you know, and there are new rules of money, and we have to understand what they are. I'll do another program on the new rules of money, but I want you to understand this success cycle. At least if you have a level of certainty and you start thinking, acting, and differently, remember, success leaves clues. Success leaves clues. And there's absolutely, for each one of us, the possibility to change the way we think about money today, to raise our standards. Because, I mean, totally. Robbins talks about this, to raise your standards, to change your belief, to model what works, right? To intensify and innovate, and then step up and give. You know, he talks about contribution. And when we start coming from a heart of contribution, then we can start to see things change. So again, you know, Tony Robbins, I'll say it one more time, raise your standards up. You know, go to a new standard in your life. You know, expect more of yourself, but raise your standard up. You know, change your limiting belief. Any negative belief, any self-doubt you have will manifest on the outside. You know, your inner world will create your outer world. Your roots will create your fruits. So you have to challenge those negative beliefs, or any kind of negative belief, right? We have to model what's working. Just model who's doing what you want to do the best. Model that and then add your own spin on it. intensify and innovate, you know, go into massive action and innovate, be creative, and then step up and give, you know. And she come from a heart of service, a heart of giving, as opposed to a heart of taking. And you will see that your world and your financial world will absolutely change. And in saying that, you know what? I've been talking a long, long time. So let me play you one more song.
You know what we need, though? Money! Where have you gone to? Money! Where have you gone to? I got to pay my bills, got to pay my rent. I'm hungry and tired, but my money's all spent. Money! Where have you gone to?
It all gone to. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? It's only a 30-minute show. I'm running over already, so I'm, where am I at? Let me go back, look at my clock. 36 minutes. Oh, my goodness me. I got to respect your time. I already ran over on Saturday. Hopefully, you got a couple of little gems from this. Certainty is where it's at. Certainty. Are you just certain you're going to create wealth? You may not know how right now. The how is not up to you, right? But you do have to follow some principles, and they're proven. So thank you, and guess what? I definitely, 100%, will see you on the other side.
When you need it, you know what to be found. Why won't you stay a while?
Time to get that money, you go out and sell everything.